Passa, bro.
First take.
First take of several. Oh yeah, there goes the water.
That's not a Norwegian water bottle you have brought it with you, or is it?
No, it's like a soft
lemonade.
No, like a concentrate that you. This is just fizzy water from the office.
Ah, so you have reused a lemonade bottle.
I'm a big repurposer of bottles. If I'm gonna use plastic, I should like use it several times.
You are not afraid for the plastic particles that allegedly.
Probably. I'm gonna die of something else before that, I figure.
Yeah. Wouldn't you prefer to die of something cooler? I'm not talking about the water temperature, but.
Don't talk about that. The water temperature is no longer cool. The water temperature is unbelievably warm to the point where I went swimming and I was like, this could have been a degree or two colder and that would have been good.
Now we're talking about the fjord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been in?
I have been in. So, Saturday. I actually moved.
Congratulations. So you live in one place?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty simple. So now I have moved. And the Sunday I spent in like Oslo City.
I'm so sorry.
Why? It was wonderful.
Was it air conditioned?
No. But that was...
Wait, you don't mean Oslo City, you mean Oslo City.
Oh yeah, so you are talking about the shopping mall.
Yes.
Yeah, no, like the urban environment. Bien. Yeah.
Okay, the town, like here.
Yeah, around. And also some of that time was spent in water.
Where, did you go to Søringa?
I did.
Were there like 90 million people there?
There were, but not where I was. Oh. Because I went on the inside of the bridge.
Mm, yeah.
And there were much more sparse, a larger sparsity of people.
Yes, a larger, right, okay. Yeah. Folketomt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The emptiness was larger.
Yes. You got to have big emptiness. It's the only emptiness you want.
Yes. But I also sort of had a guided tour by a friend from the university's days. And it came up in conversation, and I also observed this, that nudity is a thing now.
Yeah.
Public nudity.
Yeah.
In the context of bathing and such.
A little. But depends, but a little. How much nudity are we talking, like the whole... I don't want to say the whole nine yards. That gives the wrong impression, I feel.
I think because he had been to a bachelor party the day before.
So he was still naked?
No. But they had went to the Astrup Fearnley Museum.
Yeah.
So there's a place there where you can also go swim and so on. There had been... a pack of 20 year or something olds.
That's the only collective noun.
Bathing naked.
Hmm. Hmm. I guess that's the kind of behavior. It's so hot, I'm gonna shield my neck with my own hair. It's the kind of behavior which I guess you either do it completely alone or like in a pack of 20.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground. How did you feel about this? As a Norwegian, are you cool with that?
Well, I didn't mind. It wasn't like I needed to have interaction with these people. They were simply just there. But it was something I noticed. So, of course you do. Because I don't think this is something that has... I can't really say that I have encountered this as much before.
Was it like just the one lot of people, or did this happen on like several?
Seemed it was generally accepted.
Yeah. I don't even think about this now. It's definitely more acceptable here than in the UK, but I don't know. Like, one of our colleagues likes to get naked, like, if we go swimming. Like, I say one, maybe more, but
yeah,
only
but
one that I know of.
He is...
He's a special case.
Yeah, I was... So that's a constant, sort of. But this is, I feel, like a cultural thing.
Hmm. So what you're saying is these debauched East Coasters, like, you've come here and, like, you're kind of easily offended as a West Coaster and, like, you're used to all these niceties and refinements, and then you come here and people are just, like, behaving like animals.
Yeah.
You had, like, another East Coast shock today, it sounded like. The concept of rail commuting.
Yeah. So I'm a rail commuter now. I go by train.
Instead of tram?
Yeah. This is real trains. Like, professional trains.
What, were you taking some amateur train crap before? Like, what?
We just had buses. But, yeah. So, and up until now, it has been smooth. It has been on time, like in Italy, 1940s, something.
Does that have anything to do with our right-wing government, or not really?
But today, it wasn't fine. They had a so-called signal error.
Mm.
Which is kind of something like, we don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like getting a medical diagnosis from a doctor that's just, like, idiopathic. Like, we don't really know.
So, I think they tried to cure it with a tiny diluted train track. That was really, really bad.
Like, homeopathic kind of... we can't have homeopathic jokes 2 weeks running. Or maybe we can, but...
But yes, so I had to.
They're
jump
not
up.
Funny. Sorry, the homeopathic jokes. Sorry.
So what I did, I followed the ship herd because I guess they know what they're doing. So they when they are rushing out of the train into another train.
This is not their first rodeo to mix animal metaphors.
that train was supposed to be sort of faster or something, but it wasn't. So. When I eventually arrived at Nationaltheater, that's like one stop ahead, the usual place, I decided to leave the train and go fetch a bike. So I did that, and that did a trick, and I suspect it was a smart decision.
Yeah, maybe. Where were you going? Saint-Rom?
Well, I had to go into the office first.
Yeah. Yeah, it was worth the bike then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So, welcome to the world of capital city commuting.
Thanks.
In which, like, when stuff goes wrong, it goes really wrong.
Yeah, you would know.
I would. I've done some pretty serious commuting and, I commuted by train for like 15 years.
Yeah, and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, just about.
So, do you have any sort of commuting pro tips?
Yeah, if you're doing like long distance stuff, like not within a city, but like if you're doing kind of like town A to town B, if there's a train moving and it's leaving now, just get on it. Don't wait for the other one that you like is supposed to be the one that you were going to get, or don't wait for the one that you think is maybe going to go faster. If there's one here now and it's going where you're going, get on the train.
Yeah, so this is generally easy in my case because there's the one train.
There's one train.
There is a bit. There's a little thing though, because I can switch train in Asker and be allegedly in Oslo 10 minutes before.
That's great if you're not working. I'm thinking if you're actually working on the train, it's just a waste of your time.
Yeah,
breaks your flow.
Yeah,
it's not worth the 10 minutes.
Perhaps not. So, just go on the train. That's the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty basic, but like sometimes it's tempting to just wait for the fast train or wait for the whatever, but you don't have a choice, so like, yeah. Get up early. But you do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when I started my like long commutes to work, it's a long time ago, I could get on the train at like 6:30, 7 in the morning. It was super quiet. And by the time I was leaving that commute, like, you could get on the train at 6:30 and 7 and it would be pretty busy. Because it got more expensive to drive a car in those years, like the price of oil went up. And so more and more people started taking public transport. But you already get up early and come in early, so I'm figuring that's a tip you don't need.
Well, it's not just for me, it's for the people out there.
Right.
Doing the same kind of transition.
Right. Did you like my tip about, like, make out like none of this is bothering you at all?
Yeah,
it's a barely game.
So what do you get out of that?
I don't know. Like, I am a contrarian. If people are, like, visibly...
No, I'm not.
Yeah. If people are, like, visibly ticked off, that, like disproportionately so, especially, like, yeah. If, you know, the trains can be 5 minutes late and people are starting to kind of tut and whatever, I'm just like, oh, it's 5 minutes. Like, there's probably not that much riding on it for you, so just, no pun intended, so just, like, you know, chill out. But what it makes me do is it makes me behave outwardly like this is not bothering me at all. I'm going to be cheerful. Yeah. I'm going to not play the game of, like, the other barely game, which is Ain't It Awful?
Yeah.
Which is, like, everyone kind of piles on and complains about how terrible it is. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give those people the satisfaction. I'm an asshole, turns out.
But, and I also noticed that the conductor kept us pretty informed.
Yeah.
As much as he could.
Yeah, they're pretty good here, I think.
Yeah, and he said, now we are 25 minutes behind schedule.
Oh, that's a brave thing to say.
You know that if you are over 30 minutes behind schedule, you can get the ticket reimbursed if you go to the website and fill out the forms, just as you know that.
Mm.
That's decent service.
Yeah. I got a slightly crappy version of that on the tram the other day where I got on, like, at the same stop. I was ejected from and got on and then ejected from again, like, 3 times off different trams because there was some problem with the track or the line or a tram further up and they had to turn them all around. But the drivers didn't know what was happening, so they kept saying to people, get on the next tram and that'll take you up the hill. And then, like, that, we would sit there for a bit and then the driver would go, yeah, sorry, everyone, you got to get off. But the last one was just so clearly ticked off with, like, where this was going that all she said was something like, if you need to get up the hill, take a taxi. There was no, like, and we will reimburse you, which is what they do on the trams here if you're more than 20 minutes late.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But so far, I'm pretty happy with the public transport because there's so much of it happening.
Even
trams and buses.
Oh, in town.
And trains and.
Not where you live.
Mostly buses. Sometimes.
Are you kind of all starry eyed about the big city with all its, like, stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
And this is my first week, so...
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Next week...
Cynicism. Disillusionment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, things happen fast. That's funny.
So, get on the train.
Smile at people.
Smile at people. Yeah. Especially when they don't smile back.
Pro tip. If you really, really, if it's starting to get a little busy...
Yeah.
And you don't want someone to sit in the seat next to you because you want, like, 2 seats. You want that extra kind of breathing space. Look people right in the eyes. They come towards you and pat the seat by the side of you. Here, this one. You want to sit here? Yeah, you do.
I guess that generally would work to your favor, but the one time it doesn't.
Yeah, that can backfire. You can get someone who just wants to talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a nice one. I also have begun doing sort of investigative work on the train models to find the outlet. because there's always one outlet somewhere.
Right. So do you have to walk up and down for a bit until you find... This is power, right? Or
yeah, because in on the sort of the more newer region trains, there are outlets on every seat.
Mm.
But I don't have... I have the slightly older train.
Is this for your phone? Is this to charge your phone, or is this for your laptop?
It's for my
or?
Laptop. And, well, I don't really need it yet, but when my battery has aged a bit, I suspect I will. Mm. And especially if signal error occurs. But there's one outlet.
For the whole carriage?
In the carriage.
This is why you've got to get
train.
Up early.
Yeah. Or something, and I plugged into this outlet. It worked, but then I got a warning from the sort of the not the conductor, but the person that goes around and makes sure that people are out. And,
right.
And
what was the warning?
This is a special outlet.
Hello.
And will not guarantee that it won't ruin your laptop. Because it's used for sort of the hovering. Yeah.
Like the hovering art director.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the hovering train conductor.
Is this like a special kind of electricity that you use at your own risk?
I suspect it's kind of this Tesla Edison thing. Yes.
AC.
What kind of power is trains? Yeah. Is that DC or...
Well, they gotta transform it to whatever it is that your machine will take, right? Or your phone or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing, the sort of the train machinery.
I don't know. I'm, believe it or not that well versed in kind of...
You spent 15 years on them.
Yeah, you know what though, I didn't take them apart and like...
you should know them by model name and so.
Oh, geez,
that's
no.
That's the 230. That's no good.
See, right, is there a concept in Norway of train spotting? Because this is a thing that my dad did when he was growing up. This is like for fun.
I'm sure, but it sounds kind of like...
dweeby. You can say dweeby.
You have...
Sorry, listeners.
...pretty much gathered all the trains within the two first weeks of that hobby.
You would think that, but it depends where you live, right? Because occasionally something that doesn't live where you live will be driving through your area, and this is when all the train spotters kind of flock to see that locomotive or whatever it is that apparently... I don't think this is such a big deal now, because people have, like, the internet and other things to do and Netflix, but when my dad was growing up, it was a huge thing. But do people do that here?
Generally, vehicle spotting.
Yeah.
Be it trains, planes, or cars.
Yeah.
That's the thing, absolutely. I had a friend when I was younger that he was a car spotter.
Mm.
And he memorized all the models and stuff, which to me was some kind of a superpower.
Mm.
I didn't get how he managed to do that.
Mm.
But he also wrote down the plate numbers of the cars. Not in a creepy way, just to collect them.
Okay.
That's and he can appreciate that. That was a Honda Accord.
But what's the deal with, like, are you one day going to have seen them all? Like, are you looking up your book every time to go, oh, I've seen that one? What's the
I suspect that they're looking for... I think sometimes it comes with some kind of story.
Hmm.
And all the other stuff is just to give that context. Because it's like... I've seen 100 of these planes, but this one time, it did this thing, right?
Hmm. That might be too nerdy even for me.
I'm sure everyone has a spotter.
I'm sure everyone has a thing. My friend plays a very fun game, which is in the UK, there's like a string of numbers in the car registration plate. And so what she does is she starts looking for one that's just got one and nothing else, and that's the only number. And then she looks for two, and when she's found that, she can look for three. It takes a while to play this game. Like, I think, like, iterations of this game can run for, like, a couple of years.
Yeah. Huh. Did you know that vanity plates was introduced in Norway, like, I think late last year?
I see quite a lot of them. I didn't realise they were so recent.
They are.
Is that why I'm seeing a lot of them? Because everyone's gone, woohoo, let me get my kind of...
Indeed.
I don't even... Yeah, I've seen a few where they just made me roll my eyes a little bit. What is your stereotypical impression of someone who has vanity plates on their car?
It's sort of...
Please be judgmental.
But it sort of flashbacks to when I grew up in Kalmar, because there's a car, I guess, car subculture there. Where,
okay. Like Rúnar, or...
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have talked about that before,
yeah, we
I
did.
Think.
But yeah.
So it's kind of reminiscent of that. But then again, the vanity plates, it goes... It's also for, I guess, the newly rich or something.
Mm.
People with...
Oh. Oh. The
capital.
Newly rich, like there's so much judgment implicit in that phrase. Nouveau riche.
I guess you brought the judgment.
Well, I was interested to see if you had any, but... I don't know, there's like a thing about, like, newly rich is a different thing from rich.
Yeah, because they don't know yet how to spend money. But the sort of the old rich, the people with old money, they know how to spend it.
Like, how do you think... What's the difference? Conspicuous consumption versus, like...
I think the old money... are spent on things and stuff that regenerates wealth generally, art, estate, and so on.
Mm.
And the new money is spent on things that are believed to bring in status, like cars and supermodels and a music career. So, yeah.
I'd say that's sort of true, but I guess there are people with new money, certainly in the UK, there are people with new money who are investing it in long-term things.
Like?
Property, and...
Yeah, perhaps. Property can be a slippery slope, though.
Slippery slope?
Yeah.
Two?
Slippery slope.
More property.
but yeah. Or property loans, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes I read about people who are unbelievably famous and should be unbelievably rich, and it turns out they've kind of like overspent on properties and gone bankrupt. I think you can be overstretched. What, say everyone just had like one house and then everyone would maybe have a place to live and like the housing market wouldn't be insane? Is that altogether too socialist or?
I'm a bit confused. It's the general advice, small differences, financial advice.
I should not give financial advice to
buy
anybody.
Estate or property, or to work for sort of the fair public sharing of housing and stuff.
I don't know. I don't get to decide what people do.
Well, this is our podcast. We get to decide everything in it.
I think I would like it a little bit less if people, like... I'd like it a little bit more if people spent less time, like, trying to get filthy rich by owning lots of properties. Because it jacks the price up in London, it jacks the price of housing up, and it makes it very hard for people who work in low-paid jobs to live there. So... But, you know, socialist. So...
Perhaps we should sort of make a spin-off society according to small differences.
The small different society.
Yeah, there you have it. Oh, it can also be a bit a pretty posh club.
What?
The small differences society.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, do we have like? Is it one of those members only policies? And can
of
you bring
course.
Someone?
No.
Oh.
They have to be approved.
Okay.
Invited.
Is there like a wait list or something?
Of course.
Yeah, it's very long. Is there a red carpet?
Yeah.
Because I think those are kind of a bit cheesy. And a rope line.
Okay, let's bring in another carpet then. I guess it has the carpet has to be like the tart, right? No, the tart.
What?
What I'm thinking of the Scottish
tartan.
Tartan.
No, I like the idea that the carpet is the tart title.
Well, as you know, the small differences society carpet is called the tart.
Yes,
You can't explain that.
No. I mean, you have to know that. Like, yeah. It's like a shibboleth for, like, whether you're a member or not. If you don't know that, then you can't come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have to know words like shibboleth.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No. I really like the idea that we should have a small difference as tartan. But I think it might just be a tartan made out of the Norwegian flag.
Somebody needs to sit down with Photoshop now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if that already exists.
Maybe. I have to move. I'm burning.
Okay.
I'm just going to turn myself around so that I can bake on the other side. We should explain where we are.
We are in, I guess you can call this an alleyway.
When you say that, it sounds kind of seedy and dirty and dark.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's 27C or whatever and blazing sunshine. And
yeah, and we are sitting... What did I use this? In Norwegian, it's called sekkesentral.
Okay. If it was in the UK, I would say that they used to stable horses here and or servants would maybe live somewhere. Yeah, it's like a mews, M-E-W-S.
Yeah, I think there has been a stable here as well.
Mm.
That's correct. And there are brick roads and yeah.
Because your new employer is a hipster.
Well, they have been for 20 years now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, Netlife, they are not hipsters.
I wonder if we're too big to be hipsters. And we, like, the offices that we're in are no longer sufficiently hipster.
Yeah, that's true. I think they are working on that. Working on that.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're trams.
They're trams. Streetcars, as they call them in the States.
They're the only cars I know.
Yeah.
Streetcars. When there's no place left to go.
Yeah. We are recording outside. It is indeed summer.
Are you enjoying the East Coast weather? I mean, I gather it's been pretty nice on the West Coast, but...
It has been.
This is extra warm.
And people back home are like, do you regret moving now? See, we have nice weather. Yes, you could have given me that yesteryear.
If it was really the case that the weather there was good, the weather would have been good already.
Yeah. And it might be sort of the same, like, as warm outside, but the east of Norway has another kind of warmness to it. It's more dry.
Title, another kind of warmness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whilst in the west it's more moist, I guess, in some kind of way.
Generally less humid here.
Yeah.
Not always, but generally. It has quickly tipped over, though, from being, like, this is a little cooler now, but the last week or two
was
super warm.
Yeah.
And it went from everyone going, yay, summer is here, to everyone going, it's really nice weather, but I can't sleep at night.
Yeah, you can't sleep and you can't think, and everything slows down generally. Yeah, that's true. But this is kind of ideal.
Except...
There's a little breeze going on.
Yeah, this is perfect, actually.
Yeah.
Except that people are supposed to limit water use, and there is a ban on grilling in some places.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And this is like, I realised that this was like banning handguns in America, telling Norwegians that they can't grill.
Yeah.
Because like a kind of fundamental tenet of our house is like ABG, always be grilling. Like that's the kind of Norwegian, the Norwegian thing. And if you take that, like you've got whatever the Norwegian grilling equivalent of the NRA is, who are like, you will take it from my cold dead hand, or at least my very hot blistered hand, but...
Yes, that's true. And it's a pretty typical Norwegian response, because it is sort of an outrage, but with a smell of understanding, right?
This is outrageous, but I get it.
Yeah.
But are they going to abide by it? Because the other thing that is happening is that we might have a bit of a water shortage. And my neighbour is sprinkling the lawn constantly. Like, if this becomes a real thing and the police send a drone up, they will know from the green gardens which ones are getting the water. But it's, like, all the time.
Huh.
And there comes a point where, like, is this even cool? Our lawn is dying.
Yeah. You could always move to the West Coast.
I don't mind that the grass is dying so much, yeah. But I'm like, this seems like when there's talk of a water shortage.
Yeah, what had the grass done for us?
Well, there was the football pitch and and the soft landing and the.
Yeah. But I guess the question is this representative of some kind of a behavioral pattern?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, it seems a little bit Norwegian to...
But this concept of water shortage are a bit alien to me. So
from the West Coast.
Yeah, so I couldn't answer, but... yeah. But I think people have obeyed mostly, after a couple of days at least, the grilling ban.
Yeah.
And are finding alternative ways to get their grill on. Because you can get them, you can get the electric grills, which are,
yeah,
when you have a water shortage, the electricity rates go up, because that's how we generate electricity. So it's a good year for the power companies, I guess.
Is it ever not a good year for the power companies?
No, I guess not.
If it had been cold and wet, people would be running their heating more, so I guess, like, they win either way.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Control the power.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it, like, Norwegian to sort of say, screw your hose pipe ban or whatever, screw your grilling? Because, like, there's, like, a serious risk at the moment, the forest fires,
yeah,
which is why there is a grilling ban on. It's not, like, because Norway is too warm.
I think you tap into the... to the thing we have talked about before, about people in Norway having a bit of resistance to them.
To authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, wrestled with the kind of the new liberalism that we have now. I guess that's an explosive combination.
Don't, no naked flames anywhere. Say more about that.
No, because we had the oil crisis, but generally we have a growing middle class. People generally have money, and with that comes the, I guess, people are more open for liberalism.
Libertarianism?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. That was I meant, but yeah. So each to her or his own. You don't tell me what to do. I'm free to do whatever, as long as I have the resources and so on.
Yeah. There's a weird Venn diagram when people are basically really socialist and think that, like, big government is a good thing, but also libertarian. I don't even know how to graph that, like...
Yeah, yeah, because, yeah, that's true. Because most people think that the government should sort of handle education and welfare and health and so on, while feeling pretty strongly that they have also the right to buy themselves private medication.
private
healthcare
medical?
And
right, insurance or
and so on. Mm. If they can afford it. So you have this weird mix, that's true. And it's also the kind of thing that, yeah, it's okay that everyone else has to take this public service, but I don't have to do that.
Right.
Right. I'm pretty much for welfare, the welfare state, mm-hmm. as long as I am not sort of restricted by it.
Yeah. But this is super interesting because, like, in most other societies, maybe Western / Northern Hemisphere societies, right? The attitude would be that if I am going to pay for private healthcare, I don't see why I should be putting my money into sort of social care for people. Like, instead, it would be like I would prefer to take my money and invest that in private healthcare and pay less tax. But people here are like, yes, and? Like,
yeah,
it's like,
are.
I'll pay tax and I will put into a private pension or a private whatever.
I heard the arguments. Not sincerely, I guess, that I don't want my tax money to go to sort of those. There are always sort of on the edge politicians that try, but it's not a case here. But you have another thing. You have people that engage pretty deeply in road taxes or like tolls and stuff.
Right,
like that.
There's quite a lot of that here.
Yeah, so you have the concept of Nei til bomringen. So we who are against the what's the proper
toll roads?
Yeah,
yeah.
We who don't want the toll roads, right? We already pay taxes. Why do they have to skin us?
These are run by private companies, though, right? Like, they're maintained by private companies.
Yeah, on behalf of the state. Yeah. So the state sort of goes out in the market and buy this stuff. So it's still paid for pretty much by tax money. It's just private companies that sort of actually do the job. But yeah. Mm. And I guess it's better that people are engaging in that kind of thing instead of going on healthcare and education and so on.
Because it's less damaging, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
And they generally don't get their agenda through.
But is there a case to be made that the people who are paying the most for toll roads are people who need to drive, and a lot of people who need to drive as part of their life are maybe less wealthy? So it's unfairly penalizing
that's
most
people?
That's indeed a
case, but I don't think the ones who are complaining are sort of those people all the time.
They complain about car tax and fuel tax, though. People who've got to drive a lot, who live far from cities.
Yeah.
Which is not unreasonable, but...
But then again, if you look into the economy of it, I may be wrong now, but I think it's not actually that expensive compared to other countries and so on. And there's still the thing that in Norway we spend less money on food and stuff like that compared to other countries relative to our...
food in supermarkets.
Income. Yeah, like generally food.
Yeah.
Things
because that's the first thing that strikes you when you move here is, geez, food is expensive. But the average wage is way higher. It just takes a little bit of getting used to. Mm. And eating out is, like, almost prohibitively expensive. You can't do it like you would do it in the UK, which is, say, for a lot of people, like, for a big middle section of people, just very casually, unthinkingly buy food out a lot of the time.
Yeah. Is it that cheap in the UK?
It depends. If you earn a decent wage, then you can get a really good big lunch for like the equivalent of about 50 kroner in London. But that's because there's a really competitive market in London. This is like takeout. This isn't a restaurant.
Yeah, I get that.
But I could spend like 350 kroner and two people could eat out like and have, you know, well enough food. And I can do that here, but it's much harder.
Mm.
It's only pizza that really comes in at that price. Everything else is more expensive.
Mm.
So I find that people eat out less here, but when they do, they really go for it. And they get the wine pairings, which was a huge thing here.
The wine pairing, yeah. You gotta have the wine pairing.
Well, this is it, but like, if you do that in the UK, then you're like, seriously, like, you're a serious foodie. And if you do that here, it's just like, well, that's just what you do if you're going out for a nice meal.
Yeah.
I can't keep up, though. I have to ask them for, like, child portions. Well, not actually child portions, because, like, who's going to serve all that wine to a child, but, you know.
Oh, they're not in Germany.
Do they do that there?
It's not that uncommon on the continent that, I guess, children or people who are under 18 can have a bit.
Yeah, I think that's fine, but I wouldn't expect them to keep up, like, glass for glass. I think it's the responsibility of parents in the UK to, like, I think their kids from the age of about 14, I think you're allowed a glass of wine if your parents are with you or something like that. But, like, not probably
that
more than that.
That wouldn't go down in Norway.
Why not?
They would lose their license.
It's that strict?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Thinking about this and wondering whether the impression of, like, the rest of Europe from Norway is, like, just people who drink far too much. But that's why it's taxed heavily here, right? Is to stop people from drinking so much. And I guess it works?
Both the tax and the monopoly.
Mm.
And, it seems there has been research and stuff like that. And it seems like that's one of the few things that actually works is to decrease the, I guess,
availability. Like in terms of
who
opening hours and stuff. What?
Who would guess?
But the opening hours, like, did we talk about this before? I can't remember. I read about some research where the They studied the after effects of relaxing licensing laws in different countries who had done this and found out that there was a corresponding increase in alcohol-related illness afterwards. So that's a really good argument for, like, keeping it sort of locked down.
If you don't want your public to be
alcohol-relatedly ill.
Yeah.
Does anyone want that?
I don't know.
The freedom, well, like, there's a libertarian argument there. Like, I should have the freedom to have liver cirrhosis if I want it.
Yeah.
Who are you to take my bottle from me? I don't know. Now they're taking the bins out, which I think is a nice soundtrack.
Yeah, it makes it's an urban scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still recording?
I'm still recording. How about you?
Yeah,
seems
so.
How's your new device?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I have a new device, as you perhaps can hear. It's a Zoom F1 field recorder.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm now worried that I'm going to sound really crappy in comparison. Like, my track will be all tinny and yours will be all perfect and well-rounded.
Well, it's all about the content.
Oh, long day?
Long week, long month.
Yeah.
A long year.
This is the bit where you get tired. You've moved. Like, wait till you've just got one job, and then you'll have moved, and you'll be on holiday, and you'll only have one job, and then you will just... or not.
So you are foretelling that I'm going to hit that brick wall?
I hope not. But, like, that's what happens. It's like teachers with half-term flu, right? Like, all the demands suddenly stop, and then your immune system kind of gives up and rolls over.
Well... I guess I have to do like the train, just go on.
Like Celine Dion, right?
Yeah. I just saw Celine Dion music, and she has the Deadpool 2 music track, soundtrack.
These two things could not be further removed in my head from each other.
Yeah, it's called Ashes. You should go to YouTube and see it. It's pretty... The song is good. Like in the Titanic kind of good. The rapping is also good.
Celine Dion raps?
Not the rap, but rap. Rap.
With a W.
Yeah.
Vrap.
The vrapping.
Unpackering. Or what is it? I know.
Inpackning.
Inpackning.
Yeah.
Yes. Was that your cultural pick?
I guess it was. Was it really? Don't I have anything else? I guess Deadpool 2 soundtrack by Celine Dion gets my endorsement.
Hmm. I mean, really, Deadpool is kind of like Titanic, right? There's still like a dead floating guy in the water, right? Deadpool, I don't know. Just a bigger pool in Titanic.
I'm nodding.
You shouldn't. There's to be no encouragement of any kind.
I'm really surprised that you haven't started the puncast yet.
Puncast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Instead of inspilling, the beatwood spilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spilling indeed.
Yeah. You see, like, how much audience is there really for a pun-based podcast that takes place in Norwegian and English? Like, honestly. And who am I going to get to co-host? Like, you want in? Or you get first refusal?
I don't think I'm good enough.
I'll take that as a backhanded compliment of sorts, I guess.
But you had to have auditions and so on.
I will hold auditions.
Audacious auditions.
Yeah. And I will... I got nothing. Oh, instead of casting people, I will cast them. There you go.
Yes, yeah, so now you're doing the genre of puns, that is when a word sounds like something in another language.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a name for that? Homophone punning.
I think if there is a name for it, it should be also something that means something else.
I agree.
If you're actually able to answer this, that would be, yeah.
It's misleading. That's all I've got. It's not great.
Let's put a pin in it.
Yeah, the best I could do is word player. Like word play, but also like someone who uses words or does something with them. Mm. Treats them. Yeah. Let's move on. Stimulating listening, though, I'm sure this is.
Yeah, move on. I guess we haven't touched on anything that we were supposed to talk about today. So we have to say
Do we have an agenda? We talked about it being really hot.
We have talked about that, but you had something, I think, but...
Oh, yeah?
Never mind.
Okay, well, next time. I have no idea what it was, so I was going to talk about it being super warm.
Yeah, I had prepared a culture pick. I have...
You've squandered yours.
I guess, do you have any culture picks?
I have a word of the week.
You have a word of the week.
Yes, which came from Shel Morten, who's a former colleague of ours.
Yeah.
Which is the beautiful word, tjuvgrilla. So, to explain this a little bit, because it's just such a wonderful word. Right, in Norwegian, tjuvlytte is to like to eavesdrop,
yeah.
To thief listen. Which is just great. But then you can also tjuvstarta, which is like to start a little bit ahead, to kind of, there's a better word for that in English, what is it? When you like start a little bit ahead of the pack and a little bit before you should. You could kind of like steal a march on people, basically. You could start a little sneakily in advance. But del tjuvgrilla is like to sneakily grill when you're not really supposed to.
Yeah, it's like pirate grilling.
Pirate grilling, yes, title. Which is just delightful. And I love that Norwegian allows for the construction of words like that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a word that you will find in the dictionary, but it's instantly understandable and completely legitimate.
That's interesting when you Well, you have a public that already shares the conception.
Yeah.
And then you get to make the word.
Yes. I just thought that was such a well... And I wondered whether he had got it from someone or whether he just made it up on the spot.
I think he probably made it up.
Mm. It's very opposite.
I wouldn't be surprised that someone else also made it up. But as I know him, he is believable.
Yeah. Could you have other things like Dricka? Like if you had kind of started on the Ventepils or something, or
yeah, this is interesting because you have two words that are synonyms. The one is what we have said, mm. true.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a thief mm. or something, or thievery.
Mm.
And then you have sneak.
Mm. Yes, because you can do that as well.
Yeah. So I guess it would be more apt to say to sneak drikke.
Yeah.
But that's not really... Smug drikke, er det selvfølgelig. Smug. So smug, that's the other way. That's what we have here. So you can smug. Yeah.
Hi, do you live here?
I work in that office. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just because if you were foreigners, we are not allowed you to stay here.
Yeah.
Det går fint. Ellers takk.
So you got smug, mm. Thief, or yeah. sneak.
But when would you use the alley thing in other constructions? Because drinking in an alley is like a really common British pastime, because like the pub is right next to the alley, and like
yeah.
if there's no room on the pavement or inside the pub and it's nice like this,
yeah.
you drink out in the alley.
But smug is more than an alley, it's also in hiding.
Okay.
It has that general...
What are some of the words with that in that kind of has that?
Smug chicka.
Which is?
Like sneak peek, I guess.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Og stjæle, do you stjæle blick? Or something like that? Do you like steal a glance at someone or something like that? There's a phrase, I can't remember what it is.
I guess you could use it like that, but it's more like watching the next episode of the TV show that you are supposed to share with your loved one or something.
Which you've never ever done.
No, never.
Which show?
I guess now it's The Good Fight, but I know that she does it as well, so it's mutual.
Mutual betrayal!
Yeah.
Oh!
But, yeah. Have you... Smuglese?
Reading ahead?
No, it's more like when it's past bedtime.
Oh, under the covers.
Yeah.
With a torch.
Yeah.
Huh. Is there a sense of being, like, enclosed or covered over?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, you are hiding.
That's how it sounds.
Yeah.
A bit like snug, actually. I'm sure it's probably related, right? Like, the kind of idea of being, like, packed in tight
perhaps,
and cozy.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Mm. Hmm. A snug is actually, like, a physical location in some North English pubs. So, like, snug is, like, an adjective, right? Referring to, like, kind of cozy and tight and close. But then you also have a snug, which is, like, a kind of... A room, a little tiny room where people can sit and drink. It's often like, doesn't have any windows or whatever. It's like an internal room.
Yeah. It also sounds like a weird, cute animal.
Oh, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, a snug.
Oh, look at little snug.
That's a lovely snug you have there.
He's new. He's very good.
Yeah.
Mm. He only wheezes on the carpet sometimes.
Good snug. Mm. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't think I have a cultural pick. I went swimming in the fjord, but like I think we've covered that.
Yeah. Mm. Also, I guess experiences are they as satisfying as picks, because they are generally a bit people can't download those from the internet.
Yeah, but like that's the thing that like. That is kind of richly cultural.
Because your cultural pick, like the encompassing cultural pick here, is moved to Norway.
You're right, that's fairly
and
encompassing.
And all the things.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want, like, if anyone listening wants to try this, then I recommend that you emigrate and.
Yeah, emigrate, make a podcast, and all that. But
you would not have gone swimming in the sea at home, would you?
Perhaps this week I would, because it was warm.
Hmm.
And the North Sea isn't cold, because the Gulf Stream and so on.
You say that.
It isn't warm.
It isn't super warm. I used to go to the beach in the North Sea when I was at home in Scotland, and that was chilly.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to kayak in it as well, and that was cold too. Hmm. It was warmer in September. Tack för att du hörde på. Ha det bra.
Ha det bra.